Blog Talk Radio.
It's here today, our 600th live broadcast of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we've got a lot of great memories, great surprise guests, and some of my favorite songs of all time right here on today's broadcast. Now, we want to thank everybody who's made this possible and to remember to keep pushing forward, because what was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. Let's get started.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off, 18 and I went all natural. February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone, I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my hair, I am not this skin, not your expectations, no. I am not my hair, I am not the skin, I am the soul that lives within.
'Cause the way I wear my hair makes me a better person. 'Cause the way I wear my hair makes me a better friend. Does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity.
not your expectation.
No, no, no. I am not my head.
I am the soul that lives.
I am the soul that lives.
So if I wanna shade a purple, I wanna rock a rock that'll take a bit away from this soul that I got. If I wanna wear it braided all down my back, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
Monty tribute. And you know who Eric Monty is. He's the one who created all of those wonderful TV hits like The Jeffersons, Good Times, also What's Happening Now, and so many other things. So Mr. Monty, who had suffered some pretty extraordinary health issues and is doing well now, that we're happy to say. But here's the story. We'll let it, you know, just be unfolded, and let us know what you think. And again, this is by request, so stay with us. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. It's Friday. We'll also get some new music on. Stay with us, everybody.
Be familiar with his name, but you know his work. Have you heard of Coolie High or Good Times? He created both of them. He was the driving force behind the socially conscious sitcoms that were produced by Norman Lear, including All in the Family, Maude, Sanford and Son, The Jeffersons, What's Happening, and What's Happening Now. He assisted in creating all of those. In addition to these groundbreaking classics, he also wrote an episode of In Living Color and Moesha. Now, as you know, Eric Monty is a legend and a pioneer in the television and movie industries. He's responsible for the first successful show with the black cast since Amos and Andy. He was one of the hottest young writers in Hollywood in the 1970s. He was a trailblazer in black television by showing America and the world an authentic view of life as a black American. Now, prior to 1970, blacks were portrayed, you know, like servants, sidekicks, or clowns, and uneducated. Now, Mr. Monty created characters that were controversial and politically and socially conscious. It was the first time we saw ourselves on television living in a positive and productive way.
Thank you very much, Pierre Andre Evans, and welcome to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, this is a very special tribute to one of the most prolific TV writers of our time, Mr. Eric Monte.
Absolutely.
Now, I've got to start off with the beginning for him. You know, growing up in Chicago's Cabrini-Green housing project. Can you, first of all, you being from Chicago, would you be able to tell all of us what is the Chicago Cabrini-Green housing project?
Yes. Cabrini-Green has a history of violence. It's a large group community. It has regular projects. It has row houses. It's in the north part of Chicago. It's north. It's just a little west of downtown Chicago, which is the business district. But it's known very much for all the violence and things that have happened there. A lot of movies are shot there. Candyman, you know, TV show that was shot there. Good Times was supposed to be shot there. They did the outside from the Cabrini Green, but the interior was done in a studio. But yeah,
so
it's
that
a
exterior. Exterior on Good Times. Not to interrupt you, but the exterior on Good Times, when the show is coming on and we see the big building, you know, being panned across, if you will, that's Cabrini Projects?
That's Cabrini Green, yes. And as I said, it had, because it's demolished now, but it had about four different buildings of that size. It's more than just one building. And they also had row houses. It was different sections to it. It was a community. It was like a ungated community. You know what I mean? It was a collection of project buildings.
Uh-huh. And now, how did that shape Eric Monte's, what he's shared with you? How did that shape his belief system in terms of, and how did that contribute to his writing?
Well, I know about him growing up in housing projects. As a child, he had creative juices flowing, had deep inspirations and aspirations. He loved cowboys, you know, like Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, the Lone Ranger. And he used to ride around his house on a broomstick like it was a real horse. And one day, a white man approached him while he was playing, and he said, "Who are you supposed to be?" And Eric rode back to the man on his little broom horse, and he said, "I'm the Lone Ranger." And the man looked at him with shock and said, "You can't be the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger is white." And that was a moment that he made a vow that when he grew up, he was going to make some black heroes. And he was telling that story to his mother. And as a child, his mother, her name was Eileen, she told him, "Little Eric, there has never, ever been a black writer in Hollywood. And if there would be, he would be some high yellow black with a Harvard degree, not some high school dropout from Cabrini-Green." And, you know, Eric being Eric responded to his mother and said, "Mama, I'm going to do this." And one week later, he left with $5 and a suitcase. And he went out to Route 66 and hitchhiked his way to Hollywood, even though he didn't or never have even written a word before. He said, "I'm out."
Now, I want to make sure, well, first of all, folks out there, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we are chatting with Mr. Pierre Andre Evans, and you've been introduced to him right here on the Hair Radio Show. Now, he has a great article that was written for SoulTrain.com. So this is an online destination, SoulTrain.com, which is where this wonderful article on the great writer, Mr. Eric Monte, is. So you can certainly go there and check it out. And Pierre, I have to say, you get to the heart of this man. You get to the heart of Eric Monte through your work. Absolutely. Now, I also want to take a moment to let all the listeners out there of Hair Radio know that At the very end of this wonderful, wonderful tribute to Mr. Eric Monty, you've got a surprise from Eric himself.
Yes. Yeah, so, I do have a surprise, and we're going to save that till later.
Okay, so we'll see, exactly. We'll save that to the end. So, folks, you want to stay with us.
Definitely.
It'll be something that, right, it'll be something very special that you all out there will appreciate and enjoy. So I'm loving this. Now, a lot of folks have always wanted to know, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what exactly did Eric Monty share with you about when he first came, you know, to when he first came to Hollywood, and
uh-huh.
even before he left Hollywood? Now, my belief is that he met Mike Evans, who we got to know as Lionel Jefferson number one, and the main
yes, the original Lionel,
the original Lionel, the
right.
the original, the real Lionel, so to speak.
Right.
So we're going to ask you to tell us that story.
Okay. Well, but before leaving off to Hollywood, Eric and, had met Mike Evans, and they struck up a friendship, and they decided to collaborate and make things happen. He formed a partnership with Mike Evans, and as you said, that's the guy who played the original Lionel on the All in the Family, Lionel Jefferson, I mean. And they created Good Times, and that was based on Monty's life in Cabrini Green. And, you know, the Jeffersons, that's based on Mike Evans' life. So they first did Eric Monty's life, and then they broke off and did Mike Evans' life.
Well, I have to jump in. I've always wondered that. I never knew that the Jeffersons was Mike's side, and
mm-hmm.
because we did realize that, was it a coincidence, even when you mentioned Good Times,
mm-hmm.
that the family had the name Evans?
That yes, that always, even as a child, when I grew up, people, and then I'm thin.
Right, and you're an Evans
and
yourself.
Skin, people used to tease me and call me JJ. He said, that's your Evans family. That's your family. You know what I mean? So it wasn't funny, but I laughed at it. But I was cool. My name was on TV, so I was cool with that. But it was that's very, very coincidental.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And and Mike Evans, and Mike is actually the youngest of the Evans kids on Good Times.
Right. On Good Times,
right.
So he gave tribute to him on his show before they actually made the Jeffersons. He gave tribute to his partner, and that was cool.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so that's how that all came about. So this
that's
is great. We're getting a little bit of a background.
That's how they met, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had also once then going to move once he got to Hollywood. I'm saying he met up with Norman Lear, and then that he wanted to create some characters. And I don't know if you want me to go into how he created the characters or anything like that.
First of all, let's tell the folks out there. And again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and joining me, we have Mr. Pierre Andre Evans, who did a fantastic article on Eric Monty, who is the famed writer and creator from, you know, he collaborated with Norman Lear on The Jeffersons and All in the Family and so many of the TV shows that we know and love and that were absolutely hit shows. So The Jeffersons actually ran longer than All in the Family. So these are just some wonderful characters that he created, as well as What's Happening Now, and, of course, the number one movie of our culture, which is Cooley High.
Cooley High.
So, so he's done so much, and we wanted to pay special tribute today to give you a little bit more of some of the background and some of the wonderful anecdotes that that only Pierre can share, because you
mm-hmm.
have spoken with him and you maintain a wonderful friendship with Mr.
Yes.
Eric Monty. And as we've been kind of teasing it a little bit here and there, but the issues that at the end of today's wonderful journey, we're going to have a little bit of an update directly from Eric Monty to share with specifically for the fans of the Hair Radio Show. So we want you to stay with us for all of that. Now, I really have a big interest in talking about some of the TV characters that he created along the way. I want to focus for a moment on Good Times and the whole issue surrounding James.
Yeah.
The whole issue surrounding the famous, you know, what was that line that Florida said?
Damn, James. I know that's one that she always, that's the famous line from there. Absolutely.
Exactly. It's one of the most memorable lines in TV history.
Yes,
and
it is.
We want to, is there anything you can tell us about, you know, I think, you know, that that Eric talks about the whole thing surrounding James and how it appeared that, you know, that you know, maybe that how they felt about having a strong black male character in the way that he believed. So why don't you share that story?
Okay. Eric was very, very persistent in keeping James as a character. Now, you know, the late Esther Rolle, that was his wife, Florida, on the TV show, she's gone down on record saying that she would not do a TV show shown all around the world about a black woman with three kids and no husband. Now, she said, I won't do that. Liz's response was that America did not want to see a strong black man on television. Now, she won that round, and the great John Amos was brought in to play James Evans Sr. Now, did you know that after every episode of Good Times, the network notes contained the same request, and it said, get rid of the father. Now, since they thought that a strong black male character did not work in a sitcom, that's what they wanted to do. Now, Monty and Evans rebelled against Lear, and he wanted to write the father out of the show and embellish the stereotypical JJ character, you know, and just put a lot of attention on JJ.
Now, we want to remind everyone that all of this is written in your article at SoulTrain.com, so they can read the exact words and, you know, the comments and these, you know, and all this that is said by Mr. Eric Monty directly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I just want folks to know that these are not our words. These are the words of Mr. Eric Monty and his experience that he had while he felt when he was at working with CBS and working with the great Norman Lear as well. So,
these are his experience and his words. Correct.
Wow.
Now,
so go right ahead.
So, with a strong
male character.
Right. He said that Eric Monty stated that working on Good Times was real hard because all of the white writers wanted to do stereotypical roles, and he refused that. Every week he'd argue and fight, and they would ignore what he suggested and take all that, yes, sir, boss, you know, all that rooting to, yes, sir. They wanted to take that stuff to the cast, and John Amos and Esther Rolle, they wasn't having it, and they would have a fit. Then they'd give them what he wrote, what Eric Monty wrote, and then the cast would like that. So they were trying to push on the old stereotypical role, but Eric Monty wanted to progress. And then they'd shoot it, and then it would go on the air. Then the next week, it was the same fight all over again. Now, originally, Eric Monty pictured J.J. as a street-smart hustler who drove his honest, hard-working parents crazy. Eventually, they killed off James Evans, and the promotion of J.J.'s character got bigger, but the show didn't begin to keep the audience at hand, and it began to devolve into a less socially uplifting production. So with the demise of James, it lost a lot of characters, a lot of followers, I mean, a lot of viewers, and by them focusing on J.J. more, it became more of a Three Stooges-type movie than a socially conscious show that it had once been. So killing James actually killed the show.
Wow. Now, the show did go on, though, for a little while.
Oh, absolutely. It went on, yes.
But Eric Monty is saying that the level of quality and what was the initial, the impetus behind it certainly kind of waned after they killed off the James character.
Right, because James gave it that strong father figure role, and he did, you know, like punishing the kids and all that kind of stuff. And once that was good good values to teach the viewers. And with him gone, it became more of a comedy. They made points
right.
every now and then, but it became more of a sit down and laugh instead of a learning experience that it used to be. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I was an avid watcher, of course, like many of you guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
I had, after James had died, I had every week, I just hoped that he would come back through the door and see, because
right,
I remember
right.
James had gone off to that pipeline to work on the pipeline, I think,
mm-hmm.
in somewhere out on the West Coast, somewhere
yeah.
Pacific West, somewhere. And I
yeah.
said, gee, wouldn't it be great because maybe he could say, Florida, I'm back. I really
I'm
wasn't
back,
dead
baby.
And something.
All right.
Yeah, baby, yeah. I'm back. Well, that was another
yeah.
show.
yeah, right, right.
Whole, that was another show. But the whole idea behind that, and when they brought in Carl, I knew
yeah.
that was it for James.
Yes,
oh,
exactly. They have moved on.
And he
yeah.
was the antithesis of the James character.
Up
he was not the yeah. James just had a look. He could just the whole
yeah.
look. You know, was so strong and menacing that
exactly.
you,
he was
you stayed in line.
A strong
yeah.
black male
yeah.
role model. He was a
yeah.
you know, actually, for a lot of people growing up that didn't have fathers at home, because there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of single parents growing up in that time, he was a lot of people's surrogate father. Actually.
Right, exactly.
And people learned a lot
exactly.
from James for those that didn't
exactly.
have fathers at home. So
I totally concur.
Yes, yes.
Very, very good. And speaking of his great characters, now,
mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, I absolutely love the character of George Jefferson, too. And I know you may have not just outright
yes.
asked him about George, but I
yes.
love Sherman Hemsley. He was, you know, from my home in Philadelphia. I got a chance to,
oh, wow.
to sit right next to him at the Arsenio Hall show. So I've great
okay.
memories of this man and the character that he brought in when he was finally introduced on the All in the Family show.
Okay.
Because I know that Lionel was the first character who was introduced of the Jeffersons,
right.
and they kind of worked them all in and
yeah.
all of that. So talking a little bit about that, that was very interesting. And then in 1975, The Great
right.
Cooley High was released
yeah.
In the movie theaters and received rave reviews. So, you know, and I believe it was even had been ranked by Entertainment Weekly as one of the best high school movies of all time.
Of all times, yes, yes, yes.
So
that was
tell
a great...
us, absolutely, what did Eric Monte share about his mm-hmm. experiences of writing Cooley High? Tell us about
okay.
that.
Yes. Okay, with Cooley High, he went on, he really wanted to show that that is an actual life story of his, too. That's him in high school. That's him. That's his life in high school.
Which character
life.
Was based on him?
Preach, the black one with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's based on him. JJ is him on Good Times. And
wow.
Raj is him on What's Happening. So if you notice,
so
they're all
he always wrote from his
experience.
Always. Wow. Okay, wow. Very interesting. Okay.
Now, with the success of his film, Cooley High, behind him, he wanted to develop a TV version of that, and that's what happening is. What's happening, he developed that for ABC. Now, ABC's ethics and acceptance of black manhood was just as short-sighted, as it was on CBS when he was trying to promote James with the station. They weren't really following that. Now, according to sources, ABC would not greenlight the adaptation of Cooley High unless the character of the handsome Cochise was replaced. Now, reports say that ABC did not want young white girls swooning over a young, handsome black kid. Now, ironically, however, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, that's the one who played him, played Cochise in the movie, he wound up as a sweat hog on ABC's hit show, Welcome Back, Carter. What's Happening became the first African-American teen sitcom to break into the Nielsen ratings, and that's quite an accomplishment. But as always, they had a fight.
It certainly was. Wow.
They had a fight.
Well, I do want to jump in and say that with regards to, you know, the allegations about the, you know, whether ABC and how they felt about the, you know, having a young, attractive African-American male, you know, kind of leading the show. You know, there have been some conversations we've heard on our show and out there in the public. But again, we want to remind everybody, now this is your interview, Mr. Pierre-André Evans, with Mr. Eric Monty. Eric Monty, again, who is the famed writer and creator of many of these, of television history with these sitcoms. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to have his own words being, you know, shared with us today. And
these
again,
are
this
views.
Is all, these are his views and his words. And again, the article can be found on online at soultrain.com. So, and written by our very own Mr. Pierre-André Evans. So we're so excited to have you with us. So,
pleasure to be here.
So now we're talking, and he went on, Lawrence Hilton Jacob went on to great success. So we don't have to feel badly about that for him. He went on to great success in doing that and some other things along the way. The Jeffersons, as I indicated earlier, just kind of went on and lived on and took on. Every one of these shows had been a hit, had become a hit.
Yeah.
Every one of them had become
a hit. And
a
lot of them
hit.
Are still playing back-to-back. They have marathons, you know, the Good Times Marathon, the Jeffersons Marathon. What's happened that, to this day? They still have marathons of his show. They have never went off the air from the day that they were created.
Now tell us, what has Eric been up to since he left or since the show stopped major production? What you know, production, what did he do in those in-between years? Did he share any of that about his own personal journey?
His own personal journey, yes. He had a lot going on, and are you referring to after the shows?
After the success of the shows, correct. What happened after that? After they went off the air and stuff, you know, in terms of the first run shows.
He ran into a legal situation. Would you like for me to touch on that area?
Well, just go ahead and share. I mean, this is all, you know, it's out there.
Well, yeah. Well, unfortunately for Eric Monty, he had a lack of business knowledge and experience, as well as legal representation, which resulted in him losing ownership rights to most of his creations, as well as the financial benefits that go along with them. He didn't have contracts signed. He claimed his TV ideas were stolen from him in the 1970s, and in around 1977, he filed a lawsuit against Norman Lear, CBS, and ABC. And in 1974, he got the contract to write Cooley High. Now, when AIP, that's the people that organized the cast and crew, when they sent the cast to Chicago to shoot the movie, Eric quit Norman's company. And the following year, he came out with the Jeffersons. Now, Monty claimed that they stole his idea for All in the Family, the Jeffersons, Good Times, and What's Happening. Now, he sued them, but after winning the lawsuit, he was blacklisted in Hollywood, and he had been blacklisted all the way up until the present day. Now, as soon as he filed that suit, all of his offers that he had on the table for different productions dried up. Nobody in Hollywood would talk to him. He was blacklisted, and in 79, both of his shows that he created with Mike Evans, and that's Good Times and What's Happening. Now, Mike Evans went back to his role as Lionel Jefferson, and Monty made a spinoff of the successful show What's Happening. And if you remember that, that was What's Happening Now. The spinoff ran until around 1988, but Monty then had spent most of the settlement money on a production of his original play that we've never seen called If They Ever Come Back. The outcome of the play was a commercial failure. And going through all of that sent Monty into a downward spiral. This was in around 79, around 79, in the early 80s is when he really went into a downward spiral. And he fell on hard times. And he was even homeless. And he's quoted as saying, my living in the streets and the shelters and me being broke, I see that as a minor inconvenience. He say, life is way too short for me to let some idiotic thing like that make me unhappy. He said he's not sad about anything, and he said he's happier. he just said he's happy, and he said his work isn't over. Now, what the settlement actually was, he received $1 million and 1% of royalties on the DVD sales of Good Times. That's all that he received, and he hasn't got anything since that. But they gave him the $1 million, gave him 1% on just the DVD sales of Good Times, and told him to be on your way, and you'll never work again. But like I said, when I was telling you about that play, if they ever come back, he used all of that $1 million to promote his play. Nobody came to see it. So that's what sent him into depression, homelessness, bankruptcy, and he was just on the streets out in California and in Atlanta. And that's a sad story, but he pulled himself back up. That's rough.
He pulled himself back out and back up, and we want folks to know. And it was important that we got it out there that, you know, after having such amazing success, and we're not talking about on a little scale, we're talking about amazing success with creating television history, you know, and not being business savvy and not, you know, and being happy to have a few dollars in your pocket and notoriety, you know, it can happen to, not only could it happen, but it has happened to many folks. From our community who embarked upon careers in entertainment.
We were taking advantage of because of our lack of knowledge.
Okay, so we want to make sure that, again, just to remind the folks that this is all based on a wonderful profile that was done by our very special guest, Mr. Pierre-André Evans, who's with us right now, and you hear his voice along with mine. Talking about this wonderful tribute to Mr. Eric Monte, the creator of so many wonderful comedy shows that we know and the great Cooley High movie. Now, what is Eric working on today? What is Eric working on today? And can you bring us up to speed on how is Eric doing health-wise and so forth?
Yeah. Well, right now, he's authored two books. He has a book called Blueprints for Peace, and he has another book entitled A Prophet Ran Away. And he's trying to branch out into writing, and he's also still producing new ventures. It's an anniversary of Cooley High this year, so some work's going on with that. And He has had 7 or 8 strokes in the past 10 years. And I was just with him November. I was with him out in Vegas. I did a show out in Vegas, and we did a tribute to him. And we asked him to come to Vegas so we could present him with a plaque for making an outstanding contribution to the black community. And prior to that, I've been in touch with him, and he wasn't really able to speak clearly. His speaking in his mind is coming clear, but out of his mouth, the connection between his brain and his vocal cords, it gets lost in translation. And in his head, he may want to say, hey, Pierre, how you doing? And what will come out of his mouth would be chicken, computer, brown, go. And then you have to learn his language, because being around him a long time, you'll know that computer may mean facts or computer may mean this. You know what I mean? So he's created his own language. So the best way for him to communicate is either through text or through email. But with that being said, he blew my mind when he came to Vegas. And we presented it with him with the award, and we were on stage, and I handed him the mic. And he talked just as clear as I did. He's like, thank you so much. I'd like to thank you all. It was really great writing Good Times. I'm glad I touched all of you all's heart. I'm humbled. And I'm looking at him like, these people don't, I just told the people in the audience that he just had 7 strokes and he can't talk. And he's talking clearer than I am. And that blew my mind. So afterwards, I said, what happened? I said, it's a miracle. And he said, Nopia, when I get real, real excited, then my words flow out. He said, but just on a normal basis, I really can't communicate. And his famous line is, I can't talk. I had a stroke. That's all he get out. That's his famous line. He'll tell everyone. But he's doing much better. He's happy. He's on his feet. He's happy. That's the main thing. He's happy. And that's his favorite slogan that he says, have a happy.
Have a happy. We love it. And on that note, I want to take a moment to thank you, Mr. Pierre Andre Evans, for sharing your wonderful article that you've written, which was really the impetus of today's show, and tribute to Mr. Eric Monte. Now, I promised and I teased everybody earlier, and I know that you have a very special gift that Eric Monte has given you that's for us here at Hair Radio. So I'm going to let you take it away.
Okay. Well, before that, I just want to thank you, Carrie, for inviting me to the show. And it's really a pleasure and an honor for me to be here. Thank you so much, man.
Terrific. My pleasure.
All right. Now, this is a letter from Mr. Eric Monte, just written today. And he was very persistent and wanted me to read this to you, Carrie, as well as the audience. And here it goes. Congratulations, Carrie Hines, on your return to radio and the return to the Hair Radio Show. Sorry I couldn't talk to you, but I had a stroke and I can't talk. My speech sucks, but my brain works fine. Thank you for having me. I started writing so I could change the way we were being portrayed on TV, and I did that. I was tired of the stereotypes. I created TV shows that we could be proud of. Everything that I wrote is still being played 40 years later, and is still relevant today. On some stations, they play Good Times, The Jeffersons, and What's Happening back to back all day. Everything that I have written has been a hit, from movies to TV, and I ain't finished yet. I currently have my book, A Prophet Ran Away, for sale on my website, which is ericmontepublishing.com. That's ericmontepublishing.com. It's a romantic historical fiction novel based on Nat Turner. It's way better than anything I have written. You can order it from my website. Again, ericmontepublishing.com. And he writes, please buy my book, and he has a smiley face. Next year will be the 40th anniversary of Cooley High. I am planning a rescreening in Chicago, and I am also in talks about doing a remake of Cooley High. You will hear more from me real soon. I'm not dead yet, smiley face. Eric Monte, have a happy. That's to you and the fans.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Pierre Andre Evans, on the words directly from Eric Monte. I tell you, I want to say again, we can't say enough to pay tribute to this wonderful trailblazer. It's like there's just not enough words, really.
That's right. And, he touched all America, especially
he touched
all
America. Of America. Yeah. Right, especially, and you know, and I can say I kind of think equally. Because it changed and moved the dial ahead on the thinking process, and when you can do that, you've just done something that is completely that's miraculous. So we want to thank him, and we wish him all the continued success, and wish him well.
Absolutely.
And we can't wait to see him, and just, you know, again, we wish him all the best. So and we also want to take a moment to wish you the very best as well. Okay, Pierre.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
We're going to look for some great upcoming reports and entertainment right here on the Hair Radio Show for you. So we'll keep the fans out there, up to speed on when to expect you on a regular basis and your contributions to us here at the Hair Radio Show.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to being the entertainment reporter. Sounds good. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Terrific. Glad to have you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come. Stay with us.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Hi, I'm Terry Hines, And this is my special thank you to the listeners and sponsors of the Hair Radio Morning Show for helping us to usher in the next chapter in our amazing journey. The Hair Radio Morning Show first aired in 1995 on an AM station out of Newark, New Jersey, and then on to an FM station also on the East Coast in New York, and syndicated through Philadelphia and Atlanta. Now, from the very beginning, I knew there was something very special about talking about hair and beauty on the radio, and yet we were the very first to do it, and on a regular basis. Now, we truly, truly were the very first podcast ever. I think before there was a such word as podcast. Now, in the early days, it wasn't quite so easy, and we had to build an audience. But everything you do in life, you stick with it. God will make things happen. Now, I have to also thank our amazing sponsors who really have supported us throughout the years. Also, I must thank our great guests from the world of entertainment. We've had the very, very best. And especially to our family in the hair and beauty industry. Folks who have come from every aspect in every corner of the hair and beauty folks, braiders to hairstylists to product companies to natural hair folks, relaxed hair folks, barbers, just everybody. We just love you and we thank you and we support you. Amazing companies and businesses, shouting out Bronner Brothers. We wouldn't be here if it really wasn't for those folks and to all that you have done to make this possible. So I also want to shout out to our amazing co-hosts who have come and gone and been a vocal supporter of this broadcast, some who are no longer here. And most importantly to you, our faithful listeners and loyal supporters, let's keep this show going. Another 1,000 episodes. Thank you again. I'm Carrie.
Hi, this is Wayne Smith, former mayor, businessman, and friend of Carrie Hines, calling to wish him on the 600th show to keep on keeping on. You're doing a marvelous job. Looking forward to be on the air with you sometime soon. Carrie Hines, 600 shows.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I am Carrie Hines. It's Friday morning, August 13th of 2021. And yes, this is our very, very, very special broadcast today. Again, it's our 600th live broadcast, our 600th live show. Not repeats, not other things, not specials, and not in my entire career, but just this new edition of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show that premiered back on January 5th of 2015. Listen, I want to bring to the line for the very first time a wonderful young lady that I've recently had the wonderful pleasure to meet, and I thought she would be just fantastic to sit in with us today. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself. Her name is Jacqueline, and I want to take a moment to welcome Jacqueline to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Welcome to our 600th live show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Congratulations on your 600th episode.
Yes.
So excited to be here.
Yes. Well, we are thrilled to welcome you. You really represent what the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about. It's taking folks who are just kind of getting their businesses going and kind of helping them, you know, literally hand-holding them as they kind of, you know, move along with their careers in the business. And so I lend some of my experience to this. Of course, as you guys know, and as you might have heard in the piece, we started this back in 1995 out of the Northeast, and have just been able to do amazingly big things with it across the airwaves, around the world, literally. We have listeners who tune in on a regular basis in Australia, shouting out Catherine, who is one of our supporters out there in Australia, who created the Headbed, one of our sponsors and supporters again, and to Africa,
to Kathina Ebenezer over in Ghana and our friends Warren over in Nigeria. And so we welcome you along with our listeners up in the northern part of the continent in Egypt and literally in South Africa as well. And the folks that tune into us regularly and our podcast. Now they listen in Italy. They listen over all parts of Europe. We've had guests on live on the show from France. We have really, we've done our work. We've laid the groundwork. So
it's
I want to make sure people are clear. It is, I love that, a global affair. You just hit it on the head. Well, listen, we're going to be talking with you a little bit throughout this broadcast. We're going to get to know Miss Jacqueline a little bit better as we move along. And I want to tell folks what they're going to hear today, Jacqueline. If you just tuned in, you might have missed, we kind of kicked off with one of my favorite broadcasts, one of my favorite interviews, which was the one that we did with Mr. Eric Monte. Now, Eric Monte, now this is going way back. He wrote the movie Coolie High, as you guys just heard. He also created Good Times TV show.
Oh, wow.
The Jeffersons characters. What's Happening with Raj and Rerun and all of them. The spinoff,
wow.
What's Happening Now, when it came back. And, of course, like I said, he penned the show, Good Times. He had a special message. When I came back to radio in 2015 to start this broadcast, the New York Daily News, which I live here in Brooklyn, I live in Brooklyn, New York, no secret, and we broadcast out of New York City. So when I came back, the New York Daily News, which is our big city newspaper, they sent reporters and photographers here to take pictures and put me in the newspaper. Now, I read, this is not historically, you know, African-American type newspaper. I love them, but they're not. You know, you don't see too many folks and this big black man of color in featured on the pages of the newspaper unless you've pretty much killed somebody. So New York City, exactly. So it was such... For me, it was one of my biggest moments that I have to thank the folks at the Hair Radio Morning Show and the New York Daily News because they gave me a chance. I had just come back, like I said, to radio. They sent the folks out here to cover me. They wrote the piece themselves. I didn't. You can Google the article online. And they wrote the article themselves. I had nothing to do with it. There's and all this. I would never have used that picture. So if you Google it, you'll see that is not the picture I would have used. Which is a funny story. I literally thought they were only going to shoot me just the top up. So it's kind of like those new Zoom folks where, you know, you're on those calls and you see people get up with, like, no pants on. So I really had no idea that they were shooting the whole thing. And I did not look. This is something, and I encourage, you know, I do public relations and talk to folks about, you know, how to do things in show business. And so I always tell my clients and my followers and fans, I say, listen, always look at the pictures and stuff before they are released to the public and all of that. I said, oh, I know he would have only taken the top up and I don't have to worry about it. Man, when I saw that article in the newspaper, there are no words. It was a mixed blessing, so to speak. It's been totally great. So I have to say it was, back in like, we're talking about the end of 2014 and it was the same day that I got to interview the Reverend Jesse Jackson. So it was a wonderful day. Yeah. And I'll never forget, as I, you know, literally put my hand up to God, I remember Jesse Jackson saying, "What is the Hair Radio Show?" Those were his words. What? Because he had never heard of us. And I had a chance to reconnect with Peggy Dotson, who's been on our show many times. And we've just had so much fun over the years. And now that was in the recent, that was the recent version of this broadcast. But again, we go back to 1995 when I first literally went on the airwaves out of Newark, New Jersey, and then on to New York City. We were on an FM station in New York. And then I syndicated the show myself with my own hands. No one had ever heard of that. down to Philadelphia and Atlanta, Georgia. And so they, and listen, Georgia was wonderful. They had a little mention of me commenting about what the Williams sisters. And I remember that's how long ago this was, in the newspaper down there, the AJC, which was the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And so because our broadcast, and at that time we had a syndicated version on WGUN out of Atlanta. So
wow.
All good stuff. Lots of, oh, we're going to be talking. So Jacqueline, get get ready now. You're getting an education firsthand.
Yeah.
On how to
it
do
all
radio.
In.
Well, listen, Jacqueline, I'm going to turn to you for a moment. So now, where exactly are you located? What city and state are you in?
I am currently located in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. It's yes, Willow Grove. It's like a good 20-40 minutes outside of Philadelphia. It's
yes.
The hometown of our president's wife, Jill Biden.
Really? Willow Grove?
Just a little fun fact.
You know what? And I appreciate that fun fact. Speaking of which, we're going to be talking a little bit about the wonderful memories that we've had. And I've got a clip of Joe Biden that we'll be playing in just a little bit.
Along
with some of our other amazing memories. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Well, we welcome you. I've heard of Willow Grove. I remember being growing up in Philadelphia, of course, until I was about 15. And I remember Willow Grove and a lot of folks who would go over there. So welcome to the broadcast. And we're going to have a lot of fun this morning on the show. Now, along with some of my favorite memories, favorite clips, great anecdotes that you've never heard anywhere else. I think I even have one interview that was done by a wonderful lady who was on our show briefly as a co-host, and I think she interviewed me for her radio network, so I'll try to find that. It's rare that you've heard me be interviewed on my own broadcast, so I'll try to find that and get that on for you. But one of the other things that I wanted to just kind of lead on in with some of the folks who've been on the show that have meant, I mean, we love all of our guests, but some have really hit home. So we're going to kind of, we're going to do an unofficial kind of countdown with some of these folks who you've just heard from. Eric Monty, who I would say is pretty much near the top of the list. Eric Monty, of course, the creator of Good Times and all that wonderful good stuff. But also one of the other folks who was on our show that it really kind of said, you know what, Carrie, you're kind of getting somewhere. The one and only Miss Kim Berry, who was the hairstylist for Prince for 29 years. Kim came on and did our show. Oh, we all love Prince. We love Prince. And I shared, when Kim was on our show, I shared a lot of, well, there was one clip. I wonder if I have my favorite clip from Kim. Let me see if I have it. Kim really just knocked it out of the park with her story. She literally walked us through her time being with Prince. And so I just loved it. And we'll try to get the whole interview on again soon for you guys. And you can listen always at our 24-hour network. We're going to talk about all that. But she was just fantastic, and she's funny as all get out. She's out in the West Coast, out in L.A. area, and we just love her. So that was one of my favorites also. What was the biggest interview of my career, folks ask all the time? We've had quite a few folks. Let me just roll out some of these names. The one and only Miss Dionne Warwick. She is a 4 or 5-time Grammy Award winner. To have someone who had even won a Grammy on my show was like huge. And then to go on and have folks like Grammy Award winner, not just Dionne Warwick, but also the gentleman who won Grammy with the Manhattans, and so many others. I mean, we've had on Tony Award winner. Well, that was Gerald Austin. Let me just get his name out there. Tony Award winner. Melba Moore, who has been on our show a couple of times as well. She, and like I said, she was on Broadway and did all these amazing things. She knew everybody, knows everybody in the whole show business landscape. Alelia Bundles, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. It gets no bigger than that.
Wow.
So, Lelia was on our show way back before the Netflix series hit her Netflix show, Self-Made. Let me just
Self-made.
Make sure that's up here. Yeah, which was, you know, it was loosely based on her book, okay, on her own ground, yeah, about her great-great-grandmother, Madam Walker. Well, Alelia came to my live event in Atlantic City back in 2019, and we had a chance to greet school kids, high school cosmetology kids, which was just an awesome memory, and we had so much fun at the Showboat back in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So really great memories. But I still didn't say what was the most popular interview of my entire career. And we're going to get that on for you. And at about 8 o'clock this morning, so we want you to keep it right here. I guess I better just go ahead. Would you like to know what was that the one interview that kind of shaped my career and kind of solidified me as the most prolific hair and beauty radio talk show host, period, in the world?
I would love to know.
Jacqueline, I like you. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You're making this comfortable and easy for me. Thank you.
you're just fantastic with this. You're a natural. We say just a natural in the business. Well, listen, let me tell you about this, the top interview of all time, okay? My very, very number one, big, big, big. Now, remember I had other folks on like Tony Terry, CeCe Peniston, the folks, from the hair side, we have Pablo Cafele out of New York. We've had the folks who represent not just Madam Walker's place, Madam C.J. Walker's, you know, we had the great-great-granddaughter, but we also had the actual folks who run the Madam C.J. Walker Theater out in Indianapolis. They've been on the competition, we call it. The folks over at Annie Malone's place, Foundation, have been on here. The folks who run the Annie Malone Parade have been on my show. We've just had, if you're in the hair and beauty business, you kind of need to drop by or start here at the Hair Radio Show. I think we are the ones who've made the careers for so many out there. Folks like Dr. Pranique James, who comes on often. She's a well-noted trichologist. Let me just say this, Jacqueline. Many of the folks had never even heard the word trichologist until they heard it right here on our show. A trichologist is a hair doctor, let's say a hair specialist. She's been on our show many times.
Can I add something on that?
Absolutely.
A trichologist back in the 90s when I was, going to salons, getting my hair done, there were only three in all of United
wow.
States.
You're kidding me.
My hairdresser was the first person that ever told me that word. And there
wow.
were at least there were only three black trichologists in all of
wow.
United States. So
wow.
that's impressive that you have,
that's
very
impressive.
Yeah, it's a rare field. But,
yes, it's a very rare field. Now, and to your point, it has grown in popularity over the years, and Pranique has been definitely out in the forefront, and she's been with us many, many times. She's helped the success of our broadcast, so we'll try to get on something from her a little later on as well in the show. We have so many folks that it's going to be hard choosing which interviews and which clips to run. You've got to remember 600 shows. That's literally 1,800 hours of being on the air with live talk and live music and hair and all this wonderful good stuff. And in addition to those superstar singers, like I said, we've had some superstar guests on. But I kind of slipped, we've been a little evasive this morning, kind of like a teaser. But yes, my top interview of all time. I'm going to give you a few hints and see if you can guess, Jacqueline. Okay. So here goes. What we're doing, if you've just tuned in, you're just joining us. Again, it's our show number 600 today. It's Friday, August 13th. We're live. It's about 7:17 in the morning as we broadcast out of New York. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on the line live again with Jacqueline. This is her first time on our show, and she's helping to hold it down live talk this morning out of the Willow Grove area right outside of Philadelphia. Now,
yes.
Listen, let me tell you, I'm going to drop a few hints and see if you guys can guess. And listen, let me also remind the listeners, if you'd like to talk, give us a shout-out on the air. This is kind of fun and loose this morning. You know, just press 1 if you've dialed in. Now, if you've gone online to listen to us, then you'll have to dial the 516 number in. Once you do that, just press 1. That'll be our indication that you have something to talk or say live on the air this morning, and we'll get you on. So we're going to also, like I said, we'll play some clips. We'll play some of my favorite songs, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But back to my top interviewee. Okay, and some of the tips, some of the hints. Let's say, have you, okay, all right, here's the great tip or hint who my favorite number one guest, my career-shaping guest was that really got me all over the world, literally, newspapers and everything. Okay, I don't know if you heard this story, but have you ever tried to kind of make sure that your hair didn't move and kind of put it in a ponytail and kind of keep it nice and straight, so to speak?
Yes. Uh-oh. Yes, I've back in high school tried to slick it back neatly. Maybe some
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe some Let's Jam when it came out or one of those products.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, you kind of have you've got a good clue. Well, let me also say this. There was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful doctor who was on our show. And his services were needed. Now, we're talking about a surgeon, a Beverly Hills, California surgeon, who very well-to-do gentleman, who was from Ghana, Africa, who lives out in Beverly Hills and runs a clinic there. And I have to say, he was actually on our show, and I'll tell you who he is. His name is Dr. Obeng, and Michael Obeng, I just love him because he helped the Gorilla Glue Girl, who made nationals and national and international headlines earlier this year. So we were first to get Dr. Michael Obeng on our show. And I have to say, I had a chance to really chat with him. Well, we're going to let you guys actually listen with your own ears. Coming up at about 8 o'clock this morning. It's the first time that I have rebroadcast this interview. I've never rebroadcast this interview again. So it's the very first time that you guys will be able to hear Dr. Obeng. And my big thing was to ask Dr. Michael Obeng, what was she thinking? And I think let's just be real here, as we do on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It was the question on everyone's minds.
It was the question. Well, you know what? Let me say, Jacqueline, it was actually, that really wasn't the top question on. You'd think that was the top question on everybody's mind. Well, let me just remind the folks out there. Now, again, this was the story with Tessica Brown, where she had deliberately put Gorilla Glue in her hair because she was trying to, as she explained, try to, you know, keep her hair in place. So that was her explanation. But we're going to ask the doctor, what was he thinking when he was asking her, what was she thinking? So we got to really get into that. So you'll hear the interview. You'll hear me on with Dr. Michael Obeng. That's what I love about this whole thing is that when we, with our interviews on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I am the person talking with these folks. You hear them interacting with us and all of that. It's not something that we just lift from other shows. I am the person talking with them. They know who I am. and very important. One other guest, I do want to give huge amount of acclaim. Outside of Dr. Michael Obeng, I had another person, and Alelia Bundles. I mean, that's just a wonderful list all by itself. And, of course, the great singer Tony Terry was on as well, one of our classic folks. But one of my other favorite guests, now, and I'll give you a hint or two with that, who that was as well. But yeah, we've had some great, great things. And Michael, like I said, Dr. Obeng, he'll be on at 8 o'clock. We're going to replay that wonderful interview. And again, it's me talking with him directly. Same thing. Earlier on, I have to say, I think one of the biggest interview, what brought a lot of acclaim on the internet, I have thousands and thousands of followers, but I have to say, I think one of the other biggest interviews that I had, one of the biggest gets early on, besides the amazing Dionne Warwick, again, was, and I have to say, this, well, there were two. There was, let me just say this, there was Beyonce. That's all I need to say is the name Beyonce. Well, first of all, yeah, that says it all. And I'll tell you a story I've never shared with anybody on the air or otherwise. But there was, speaking of the New York Daily newspaper, the very same newspaper that had me on the inside with a big article, one day I was reading the New York Daily newspaper, and they need to send me a check for all of this publicity I'm giving them this morning. but I remember that there was an article on the, well, a cover story on the front page of the New York Daily News that Jay-Z, that this young kid had alleged that Jay-Z was his dad. And
I remember
young,
that.
Like a 20, do you remember this story?
I do.
Wonderful young man, yeah, named Ramir, who, you know.
I think he was
from Trinidad. Is that right? Well, let me tell you something. Ramir, I got to know Ramir and his people, and they had asked for my help and getting their story out to the people. So that was early on, and I was kind enough, and I helped them a little bit and here and there and all of that stuff. And that was my first connection, if you will, with anything that was, you know, remotely related to these folks. Well,
wow.
Not too long after that, the one and only Matthew Knowles came to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And Matthew was represented by folks that represent some of the biggest stars out there, and we were just so lucky to have him at that time, to be able to have Beyonce's dad, the man who started Destiny's Child, an award-winning mega producer, was on our show. And, of course, you know, the father-in-law to Jay-Z. It gets no bigger than that. So I love Matthew. When he was on the show, you guys, a lot of you have heard the interview, but Matthew, he was fantastic. Just one, and let me just tell you this, and again, things I've not shared on the air with anybody, a little bit behind the scenes. I remember the time Matthew was on our show when we did this interview. The press, I'm not saying the New York Daily News, but other media outlets, they weren't so kind in kind of covering Matthew. He was kind of like, you know, how they looked at Joe Jackson, not exactly in the best of light. You were grateful that, you know, they had these wonderful kids, but, you know, in other ways you were like, uh-oh. Well, that was the kind of coverage that Matthew was receiving, in my opinion. And so when he did the show, it was during a time that I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that he and Beyonce, I believe, were on the kind of like the outs, if you will, I think. And so I tried to do the interview in a way that honored all that he had done, while literally not mentioning the name of Beyonce. We love her. Let me just say that. But I didn't want to offend him, and so it was a tough tightrope to walk in which you were producing an interview piece, literally that focuses on the biggest entertainer in the world, literally. And so I had to do the interview with the biggest entertainer's father and not mention who, you know, his famous daughter or not even the ex-wife, none of all those people. And but the wonderful thing was, and what I love about Matthew, is that he understood. He went ahead and he brought and mentioned everybody. Just really kind of went to town on it and spoke about everybody. But what was most impressive for you guys, and you can Google this wonderful interview out. It's on the internet. All you got to do is Google Carrie Hines and Matthew Knowles, and it'll pop up. But what I love about the interview with Matthew also is that he revealed that they were in the hair industry and little Beyonce grew up at the hair salon. Did you know that, Jacqueline?
Not before that interview, probably not too soon before that.
Wow. Well, I was shocked. I had no idea, and that they had kind of gifted the hair salon after they made like $1 million or what have you. They gifted the salon to one of their stylists. And so, you know, Miss Tina, Beyonce's mom, kind of ran that shop until then. But it was really just an amazing, amazing story. So I'm just so grateful to have been able to not just have these celebrated folks on, but also to be able to make a difference in the careers of the hairstylists. And we're going to talk about that in just a bit. We're going to talk about the difference that we've made in the way of the hairstylist's career, you know, what the folks who came out, who nobody knew who they were, they came on our show. We also have done a lot of work in the way of education. So promotion and education, I think, probably some of the biggest things that we've been able to say. So listen, we'll take a commercial break. We've got a lot more, Jacqueline, to go this morning. And to all of our amazing fans, again, I've got to say thank you. We're going to be running our little piece here that promotes the network and everything that we're doing. And lots more live talk this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll get on some commercials. Got to pay the bills. We'll be right back.
But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes minutes just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay, but do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care product on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout out
Louisiana. I just want to give a shout out to the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right. So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
We'll be right back.
One in a Million, the history of Madam C.J. Walker and her entrepreneurial legacy. Not even her poor and difficult beginnings stymied Madam Walker's road to greatness. Born December 23, 1867, roughly 2 years after the alleged emancipation of her race, she was an orphan at 7, a wife at 14, a mother at 17, and a widow by 20. The woman who would become known as the first self-made female millionaire and the greatest benefactress of her race was born the daughter of Owen and Minerva Breedlove, poor ex-slaves living on a cotton farm in Louisiana. They named their special little girl Sarah Breedlove. A washerwoman by trade, at the age of 33 in 1900, Sarah began selling a product door to door which she had formulated to remedy her own hair loss. She pinpointed the root of her hair problems, which was the scalp, and created hair care products and a beauty regimen for hair growth and maintenance that focused on the need for a clean and healthy scalp, scalp protection, and scalp stimulation for maximum hair growth. Her first product would eventually be called Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower, and she boldly and proudly used her own likeness on her jars and her own before and after pictures to demonstrate her product's effectiveness. Her madam's own words, she abhorred the impression held by some that she claimed to straighten hair. She emphatically stated, "I grow hair," and that there would be no hair-growing business today had I not started it. She described her concept and method of hair growth as beauty culture because she compared growing hair to growing and cultivating garden plants. She then broadened this concept of beauty culture by incorporating the value of cleanliness and professionalism, which emphasized the overall appearance, moral conduct, and character of the Black woman. Black women from all over the country began writing letters to Madam Walker attesting to the benefits of her products. By setting up a special correspondence course of beauty culture in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then a manufacturing facility in Indiana, and later a beauty college in New York City, Madam was able to further establish and promulgate her program of beauty culture, which trained the Black female in three areas. First, the Black woman was taught the proper presentation of herself. She was to be clean, neat, properly attired, and well-mannered. Second, she was taught how to use Madam's hair care system on customers. And third, she was taught how to sell Madam's hair care products to customers. In so doing, Madam C.J. Walker provided a solution to the root of the Black woman's demise. She raised the Black woman's self-esteem and confidence about her own beauty and intelligence, and she empowered the Black woman economically, thus freeing her from white servitude and male dependency. This accomplishment is even more amazing when put in the context of the time in which these things were done and in the context of Madam's own background. The time, one historian called the nadir, or lowest point in the history of the Black race outside of slavery itself. The blessings of freedom was now marred by the blatant terrorist acts of the Ku Klux Klan and those like-minded individuals working in collusion with them. The harsh reality faced by the vast majority of Blacks living in this era was that the number of lynchings peaked during the early 1900s, as did other backlashes sparked by Reconstruction, such as the burning of Black churches and schools and the establishment of Jim Crow laws. During this dark period, most Black women were either sharecroppers or washerwomen and house servants for whites. Madam Walker was no exception, but she was, however, exceptional. Madam Walker moved her ever-expanding special correspondence course business, founded on her system of beauty culture, to Indianapolis, Indiana, on February 19, 1910. She then purchased and paid for her home, adjoining which was a factory and laboratory, located at 640 Northwest Street. She endeared herself to the citizens of Indianapolis when she contributed $1,000 to the establishment of the Senate Avenue YMCA. It is reported that she was the only woman to make such a donation. Madam herself, when referring to the YMCA donation, had this to say, quote, "In referring to that $1,000 gift, I don't want you to lay so much stress on it, and do not say that I am the only one. You might say that I was the first and caused others to awaken to the sense of their duty in helping deserving causes for the benefit of the race," end quote. Not long after her move to Indianapolis, Madam Walker also became a member of Bethel AME Church, one of the oldest and most influential churches in the black community, to which Madam Walker contributed generously. In less than 2 years after moving to Indianapolis, on September 2, 1911, Madam C.J. Walker petitioned the Indiana Secretary of State to become incorporated, and on September 19, 1911, exactly 1 year and 7 months since her arrival in Indianapolis, the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company of Indiana Incorporated was established, Madam Walker naming herself president and owner of all 1,000 shares of stock. A relentless worker and ingenious marketer and saleswoman, Madam Walker had thought to place her system of hair care products in black colleges all across the United States. She also regularly advertised in black newspapers, and she eventually placed her products in drugstores. As she traveled throughout the country, she wrote letters to her general manager in order to instruct him on how best to run her factory in her absence and how to implement all of her new ideas. However, the Madam Walker agents, Madam's recruited sales force, were her biggest asset. Madam held public meetings in churches, rented lodge halls and other such facilities, and put on demonstrations, including a slide presentation, in order to recruit black women to become Walker agents. Madam Walker taught and trained them in the methods of application and proper use of her hair oils and vegetable shampoo. Eventually, Madam organized a national convention for her Walker agents, giving away prizes and other incentives to motivate and energize her ever-growing troops of Walker agents. Sales generated from Madam Walker's manufacturing company and the hair care products it produced enabled Madam to give birth to yet another legacy, as Madam became known as the greatest benefactress of her race. Through monies earned and derived from Madam's work in the hair-growing business, Madam Walker regularly donated large sums of money to charity and to individuals of her race who were in need. In fact, Madam was so self-sacrificing and freely giving that those closest to her were worried that she would become financially ruined. Desiring all blacks to have decent homes, at times, Madam would assume mortgages of blacks who were financially strapped, allowing them to repay when and how they could. Various schools for blacks and certain social and civic organizations dedicated to the betterment of the black race were also beneficiaries of Madam's philanthropy. Though many have called Madam extravagant, her generosity and passion for her people were Madam's only extravagances. She gave not for self-aggrandizement, but rather to inspire other wealthy blacks to give likewise. Moreover, Madam's giving went well beyond monetary donations. She lent her name and time to worthy causes. She traversed the country, speaking against lynchings, and fought vehemently for the fair treatment of black soldiers who had served in America's military during World War I. Madam C.J. Walker was an ambassador of sorts, a spokesperson for all black-skinned people, a revolutionary, visionary, missionary force. It should therefore be quite obvious that Madam Walker's passing on May 25, 1919, was a tremendous loss to the black race. At that time, Madam had recruited over 25,000 black women from the United States, Central America and the Caribbean as door-to-door beauty culturist and was well on her way to Africa. Her net worth was over $1 million, making her the first female, regardless of color, to become a self-made millionaire. She is one of the most successful black entrepreneurs of all time and one of the first to utilize the method known today as direct sales marketing to distribute her products. She had also managed to build a 32-room mansion in Irvington, New York called Villa Loaro, which she had desired to be left as a monument to her name and as an example to her race of what hard work and black support of black enterprises could achieve. After Madam's 1919 passing, her hair care manufacturing corporation was used as collateral to secure the finances needed to build what is today known as the Madam Walker Theater Building. Completed in late 1927, the Walker Building Beauty Salon continues to operate there and continues to sell Madam C.J. Walker's original hair care products. Years later, in 1982, the trustees of Madam Walker's trust would deposit a large portion of Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company's business records, historical documents, pictures, and memorabilia with the Indiana Historical Society, who took on the task of painstakingly organizing and preserving the Madam Walker legacy. 74 years after the incorporation of the Madam Walker Company in 1985, the 1,000 shares of capital stock of Madam's corporation were sold to a man named Raymond L. Randolph, making him the first person since Madam Walker herself to own all 1,000 shares of stock in the original Madam Walker Company. A graduate of Attucks High School, Mr. Randolph had never dreamed that he would become the owner and caretaker of this phenomenal legacy. In honor of Madam C.J. Walker, Mr. Randolph placed Madam Walker's image back on the jars of her original hair care products with the words, "Since 1911," placed underneath it. Doing business today as Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises Incorporated, the hair care company founded by Madam C.J. Walker continues to manufacture and sell her original quality products, ensuring that the legacy of this remarkable woman never dies. The Madam Walker Agent Program has been reinstituted and is the main method by which her products are distributed today. On September 24, 2011, Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises sponsored a centennial celebratory walk called Tracing the Footsteps of a Legacy. This event marked the 100th year since the pivotal point in her entrepreneurial legacy when Madam Walker incorporated her manufacturing company, the Madam C.J. Walker business family, which includes the Madam Walker agents, will continue to keep Madam Walker's spirit alive and well by ensuring that her labor of love, her manufacturing business, continues operating according to the entrepreneurial blueprint she left behind and which is detailed in the historical documents of the company. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Breedlove. You are indeed one in a million.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I am Kerry Hines. It's Friday morning, August 13th of 2021. It's our show number 600. It's our very special 600th live broadcast, and I'm really honored. It has just been fantastic. We've been having a good morning today. So if you're just tuning in, you might have missed a few poignant interviews and some real career retrospective talk this morning, but we've got more to come. I want to bring to the line again a wonderful young lady who I've recently had the wonderful great pleasure to encounter, and we're giving her a shot this morning in the co-host seat. It is Jacqueline out of Willow Grove, PA. Do you like that wonderful introduction, Jacqueline? Is that not just nice? You know, that's what I love about the show. Exactly. Each morning, you know, getting out of bed and talking to millions of folks, literally everybody on the planet can hear you and have the ability to tune in. So it's just been wonderful. And I've got to really, you know, I know I mentioned them earlier, but I really want to take a moment to pay real tribute to the wonderful folks who co-hosted the show. I mean, I really have to say I've had a long line of wonderful men and women who've been on the show to help us to, you know, add their own perspectives and things like that. And it's just been wonderfully rewarding. And some of those folks, we've even lost a couple of them. At least one just recently passed away. But these are folks whose legacies remain with us. Sometimes I'll sit and on our 24-hour network that we've launched, I'll hear the interviews play because that over there at the 24-hour network, the classic episodes, all, you know, today's our 600th show, so we have 599 other shows that play over there at that 24-hour network, so you can listen all day and night. I was telling folks, you could almost listen to a brand new episode without getting a repeat for 2 years in a row. Every day, you can listen to one episode of the Hair Radio Show for almost 2 years. That says a lot. Now, how,
I'm honored to share the airwaves with such legendary individuals that contributed so much, really, to the whole hair care industry. And this is like a whole entire history lesson, really, listening to you and all the guests that you've had. And thank you for your contributions, by the way.
Thank you. That's very nice. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Yes. Well, you know,
I appreciate you.
It has been that. Oh, you're very kind, Jacqueline, I have to say. It has definitely been, it's been an education for all of us. When I started the show, it was my intention to educate the hairstylist. That was the show was kind of shifted focus a little bit. When I started 25 years ago, even when I used to play, like, you know, the 30-minute little pieces we had, and back then Montel Jordan did the show. That was my big claim to fame. Montel Jordan, he had a big hit called This Is How We Do It.
Wow.
I was so happy to have him on the show. Well, that was at the time of his height of his success. See, when the wonderful thing about what we've done, we've had people on the show during when they were popular. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
we had
like
them on CC Citizen.
Hall of Hair Care Radio.
Oh, you know what? I have not heard that one. I have had, you know what someone called me? What did they call me? They called me the There was I've gotten a couple of names out there. Some I can't say on the air. but I will say this. I thank you. I love Arsenio Hall. And I've got memories with Arsenio also. I had a chance to present Arsenio, sure, with an airline jacket because I used to work for Continental Airlines. It's not a secret. I love Continental, and now they're, you know, they bought United, and now they've become United Airlines. Well, my committee helped to pick out that symbol you see on the back of the airplane tails. That was my work, along with our group. So we are the ones who designed that. But my memory goes back with Arsenio because I used to fly the employees out to California. So we would go to L.A. to Paramount Studios over on Gower, and we would go in and watch the Arsenio Hall show live. And so I got, since I was the leader, I had a chance to present him with a Continental Airlines jacket. And so he took the jacket from me, but he didn't do it on air. And but I remember that wonderful memory. And then I remember Joan Rivers coming back a couple weeks later to Newark, and I had a chance to chat with her and get her interview. She was on Arsenio's show.
You've met all my heroes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. These are real stories, folks. It's been a remarkable career. Folks often ask me, well, what else have you done, Carrie? We know you were on radio for 25 years. Some know that I worked in the airline business. I started off on the ramp. I've done incentive accounting, working behind the scenes in offices. I then was the only, at that time, ramp agent at Newark Airport who literally was promoted from the ramp to being a flight attendant. And so I got a chance to fly around the world and promote, you know, the airline and for safety and security and all that wonderful good stuff. And it was wonderful. I also created my own department for Continental Airlines, which was just amazing, some of whom still work for me and still work at our shows today who worked in my offices back then. So did all that wonderful good stuff. And in recent years, in between, as you guys know, being entrepreneurs yourselves, you have to go back to work sometimes for other folks. And that's what I had to do along the way in 25 years here and there. So I returned to the airlines. I supervised for Spirit Airlines for a little bit out of LaGuardia Airport, New York. I worked for a couple of other smaller carriers. And I was also an instructor at the airlines and did all that wonderful good stuff. And then I moved over to the financial industry where I did what are called stock splits. So when companies were purchased by other companies, I had a chance to kind of transition their stock ownership. So and if you you can find me, a lot of my work you'll see on the internet if you Google me. I did Sony stuff. I did a lot of the companies that you know, Warner Brothers, when they were separating and all this kind of stuff,
as well as Microsoft payments.
Carrie,
and not to cut you off, but I'm just so glad to actually hear you say that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you did have to go back to work, you know, for other people at times, because I feel like on the road to entrepreneurship, sometimes you might feel like a failure if you kind of temporarily have to fall back into, you know, working for others, which is what you're trying to work away from. But, you know, to hear someone like you say that you did, you know, go back to that on your path to entrepreneurship, it's inspirational because it lets me know that even if I have to take that step, it's not like it's just a step. It's not just, you know, you failed and now you're back to what you were doing before, but it's something that, you know, you might have to do sometimes, and it's okay. It's really
I love
okay.
it. And Jacqueline, you really hit it on the head. It is okay. And I want to be very clear about that, and that is so important. First of all, yes, and I've been working as an entrepreneur on my own for the last 8 years consecutively. So I left my last job in the financial world when I did all those stock splits, and I still live here one block away from where I worked. So I still see all my former coworkers and all that right here, you know, in the neighborhood every day. I'm still here. that's been 8 years ago. So a lot of them, you know, hi, Carrie, they follow me because when I was in the newspaper, they saw the article. So there was no, let me tell you guys out there, all of the entrepreneurs, there was no greater feeling in my life than my former coworkers seeing my big old article in the newspaper when they were on their way to work in the morning. That was the biggest honor I could ever have. And to your point, Jacqueline, I love what you said because it is correct. Along the way, I've had to go back many, 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 many times. And there was never any shame in going back to work because I use that, what I encourage everybody to do. In the Black community, we don't often, and this is my opinion, but I think we can do a better job at supporting each other. So often we don't have those same access, you know, to funds and, you know, I don't have rich uncles and stuff like that who gave me money to get started on a radio show.
Yeah.
And anything that I've decided to do, I've had to literally, you know, scrape and try to pull it together and, you know, as best I could. Those days have not subsided. We still need your help out there. Let me just say that. But that was how I had to do. I had to literally scrape and save. So working was the way to help finance your dreams. And if you have to stumble a bit, you know, stumbling, and to me, I never looked at it as something really bad. I have always looked at this is how you learn. You come back and you go back at it harder the next time. You know, I'm still learning lessons today. It's been over 25 years. This is like my 26th, 27th year in this. I started out on the West Coast, even though I'm from Philadelphia and the East Coast, folks. But my career in radio started in Hollywood, out on the West Coast when I lived out in Los Angeles. So, you know, but along the way, like I said, you have ups and downs and you meet great people along the way who kind of lift you. It's usually been I don't know where they say it, but it's the kindness of strangers that have really been my earmark to success. And I just love everybody for helping and keeping and believing in us for 600 shows. That's a lot. But, you know, Jacqueline, I think what it is that what really resounds with folks is that I stick to it. I stay with it.
Yes.
I stay
with
it.
Consistency, definitely.
Consistency. You have to. And the other thing is that I always say to folks, I think I opened it up on today's broadcast, when you play this back, today's show, because I'll share it on social media after we wrap at 9 today. But what amazes me is that I always tell folks, and this is my own motto, if you will, and it goes something like this. What was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. And that has been my true motto in life, because no matter what it is, wherever you see yourself, we have challenges each day. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are. You know, and like I said, in this community, if I have to be honest, and you guys know how I am, don't get me started. I will always tell you the truth. But this has not been an easy task. It hasn't been an easy chore. I wish it doesn't. And listen, to be an entrepreneur, I think one of the things that really fuels me is that this is not impossible to do. You know, I'll tell you, I think it's because of being, you know, we're minorities and having a little tougher time trying to get things going because we don't have that real support that I think that is missing, that we really need. But I'll tell you one funny story. I happened to be looking at the television one day and they had on some gentleman who was talking about how hard, somebody sent me the video, you know, how you guys on Facebook and all this kind of stuff. They sent me a video of an entrepreneur. Oh, this guy was talking about how hard he had it and how long he's been doing this and hanging in there and all this kind of stuff, and he's a big success now and all of this. And it happened to be a Caucasian gentleman who had been literally in business for 6 months. 6 months. 6 months. I wish I were making this up.
Wow.
Now,
yeah,
I've had to struggle for 20 26 years. 26 years.
Wow. I think that's a huge mistake that most people start out in entrepreneurship. They think it's maybe just going to hit immediately,
exactly.
You know. TV
that's
makes
the
it
other
look
thing.
So easy.
Exactly. That's the other thing. That folks think that they're just going to, and I know I got to get on Dr. Michael Obeng because I know folks want to hear the Gorilla Glue Doctor. I promise I'll get that on in just a moment. I just want to say that it's been a tough road, but I have to say the fans of the show have kept me going, and they wonder how I do this. Some of the folks, they are on social media. I post like 50 posts a day about, you know, whatever I can find that's hair and beauty related. I share my own personal stories. I try to be give the folks and the followers a real look at who I am. That's who I am. I always joke on the radio show each morning, and from time to time I tell folks, I say, well, you get to be a part of my life from 6 in the morning to 9. We're on live, you know, Monday through Friday. And I said, but the rest of the day, I live hair radio. I really am hair radio every day, all my life, every day. You know, I'm taking calls at night, waking up, answering the phones for people to try to help them with this and that. Folks come to me for advice in the hair and beauty business, and they understand that I know public relations and products and promotions and writing and broadcasting and publishing and so forth and so on. Customer service and entrepreneurship, I guess the list goes on and on and on. And I've just been very blessed to acquire this knowledge and most happy to share it with you guys. So that's really that. Okay. So we're hanging out. Yes.
I just wanted to thank you for not, you know, skipping the lessons in your journey of hair care and entrepreneur, because I think the fast success is not good in that way, because I think the slow and steady consistency, you learn the lessons along the way, which is the real, I think that's the real asset. To
exactly.
go at that route, and now, like, thank you for sharing it, you know, to the rest of the community, and
exactly.
just giving us a platform.
Thank you.
It's great.
Well, I appreciate that, Jacqueline. Now, you guys, if you're just tuning in, I guess I better bring everybody up to speed. It's the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, in case you haven't figured that out. It's our show number 600. We're live today on this Friday, August 13th of 2021. I'm on with a wonderful young lady. You guys hear her right now, Jacqueline, who is just helping us out this morning as our guest co-host. She's been doing a fantastic job. And we're looking, yes, and we actually are looking to build out our on-air team in the way of other on-air personalities and folks who want to join us right here live each day. This is my first time announcing it in quite a bit of time, but yes, we're looking for folks. So if you're interested, you can find me on social media or however you need to reach us. And after we wrap at 9 o'clock, reach out to us. I always tell folks that they can reach us by calling our office, because then we have a chance to kind of talk with you a little bit and see if the vibe is right and all that wonderful good stuff. We usually will do some little testing things right then and there. So if you guys are interested in being featured on a regular basis right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show as a contributor on the air, it is possible. It's possible. So listen, I'll give you the information. If you grab a pen and paper right now, I'll give you the phone number to reach out to us. So you want to give us a call this morning after we wrap up after 9 o'clock. So the phone number to call in is 862-277-0686. Again, it's 862-277-0686. That's the phone number to our office after 9 o'clock this morning. So New York time after 9. If you're out in Central Time Zone after 8, do not call us before that. Call us after. We're on the air live, folks. Okay, so I want to make sure that's clear. Well, you got to make things clear, Jacqueline. You really do.
Absolutely.
So, Yes. Well, listen, I better get on some more of these wonderful memories that we have in 600 broadcasts. The one, in case, again, you guys have just tuned in, earlier I mentioned my favorite, I shouldn't say my favorite, but it's one of the interviews that really was career-marking. It was the biggest story in the country earlier this year. And I will never forget it because this everybody was clamoring to get a hold of Tessica Brown, the Gorilla Glue Girl. We Carrie Hines and my amazing Cracker Jack team, had an opportunity to track down Dr. Michael Obeng, who all the way out in Beverly Hills, California. And believe this, there were a couple of Dr. Michael Obengs. I think I'm friends with all of them. Okay, really. This is really the truth out there. So I am so excited to get this interview on again. It's the first time that I have rebroadcast Dr. Michael Obeng, the Gorilla Glue Miracle Doctor. Again, this is the very first time I've played this again on our show. So, you know, we have not done so since this was made news around the world. So I'm very happy about that. I think we'll go ahead and get this piece on. And it's only a few minutes, so it's not too long. So it's about 15 minutes, and we're going to have you guys stay with us because I want to talk with you, Jacqueline, a little bit more about this piece that you're about to hear, and also what your thoughts are.
Okay.
What your thoughts are, you know, and all that wonderful good stuff about this wonderful entrepreneurial journey that we've been on and talking all about. So this is. Are you excited, Dr. Michael Obeng, the Gorilla Glue Doctor, folks? And again, just a reminder for you, if to our listeners out there and to the fans of the show, if you would like to speak on the air, give us your shout out this morning. And I think I got some more shout outs. But if you would like to give us your shout out, you can do so live on the air. Just press 1 on your cell phone, and that'll be our indication that you want to give us a shout out, and we'll get you on. So this is the interview that kind of put us on the map earlier this year. It's Dr. Michael Obeng, the Gorilla Glue Doctor. And I do ask him that, and remind me after this plays to answer what was the number one question that everybody wanted to know. So remind me of that, Jacqueline. I'm going to share that with everybody after this plays. Here we go. I'm going to go right on into the interview.
Okay.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. Now, he's a part of this pretty much the biggest story in America. It is my honor to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only, we're going to say, Dr. Obeng, Dr. Michael Obeng. Thank you so much and welcome to the broadcast. I was getting ready to work in Miracle Doctor. That was my day there. So good morning to you, and we're just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show this morning.
And to share
my experience with the audience.
Wonderful. Well, I have to jump right on in. And we're talking about the amazing work that you have done with Miss Tessica Brown. Now, it has been reported everywhere and across the Internet. We're talking about huge in terms of the notoriety that's been, you know, reached about the story. In terms of Tessica, somehow with the Gorilla Glue that you know, she placed in her hair, and everybody knows the story. Well, what we don't know and what you might be able to tell us is, like, you know, what prompted her beyond what we've seen in the reported, you know, gossip and this and that? What can you tell us that might shed some light on how this, because you would have had to kind of, I imagine, delve into that a little bit so you know how best to treat it. So what can you share with us today, Dr. Obeng?
Thank you very much, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Kristen. What happened with Tessica was very unfortunate. You know, it's one of those honest mistakes you know, that somebody ran out of something, they thought they can use an alternative on a temporary basis. And it will turn into a month ordeal and a worldwide fanfare. And, of course, you know, these accidents happen all the time. And it's not just with hair or hairspray. You know, it happens all the time when people are, you know, washing their mouth with the wrong mouthwash and so on and so forth. And I think the world should give Tessica a break. You know, women go through a lot with their hair, especially the black women. And, you know, to get a bottle of a Gorilla spray, blue spray to spiritual head, thinking that she can wash it off, you know, in a few hours, you know, being, that has turned into a national story or a worldwide fanfare, is something of a cautionary tale for all of us. And that's what I can say to that.
Well, I have to kind of add to that. I looked at everything when I started researching this, and I kind of looked at both the product that I believe she typically used and ran out of versus the product that she used. And honestly, there was, in my opinion, this is Carrie Hines, there was like a similar kind of description from me, from my words. So to me, you know, I can understand how somebody might do something like that, especially in a sense of, you know, when you're desperate and want your hair to look a certain way. You know, these are the, you know, how a lot of folks have been kind of pushed to that limit in terms of that. That's the bigger, broader story now seems to be hitting out there. But I want to kind of take a moment to kind of turn to your, the questions that folks have asked me to ask you about the process and so forth. So can you walk us through what, because you created this concoction, if you, I hate the word concoction, but you created, you know, you did some research and came up with, you know, what to use to kind of alleviate the situation, to remedy this, you know, this situation. So how, can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, so when the story first broke and we got wind of it, and my office asked me if I can help it, and of course I said I can. You know, of course I didn't know it was a national sensation or something that had taken the whole world by storm. You know, I just said in confidence and in gratuity that, you know, pretty much anything I can think of, I can do it through the Lord who has strengthened, who strengthens me. But when I found out it was Gorilla Glue and it became a reality, after I said, yes, I can do it, and within 2-3 hours later, you know, I was getting confirmatory message that, okay, she's going to be here 2 days later, which was on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, I said, sure. So, of course, you know, I'm not in the field that uses Gorilla Glue all the time. I've heard of Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue, but I don't know what was in it. You know, once I heard about it, I knew I was going to do it. You know, with any good, you know, any good visionary or great visionary, you want to go look into and do research into what you're about to do. And if you are not used to it, you know, you have to delve into the problem much deeper. So, of course, I had to Google Gorilla Glue, and I had to Google the main ingredient, which happens to be polyurethane, which is a very, very, very strong adhesive that, you know, goes back, you know, that was brought into America, I think, in the early 1990s from the Southeast Asia, where it was being used for furniture manufacture. Then I then decided, okay, what can then dissolve polyurethane? You know, what are some of the solvents available? And having a chemistry background, you know, helped. So I was able to find out the different things that can break it down. But now we are not talking about just breaking something down on the surface, but this is on a human skin or human scalp. And, of course, being a doctor also tells me that if you put caustic solutions or caustic substances on the body, on the scalp, it can potentially burn it. So now we have to find a fine balance between something that was gentle to the skin or the scalp and something that was effective enough to dissolve this powerful glue. And after the research that I did in the last 2 days, on Monday night, Tuesday night, and also making a call to Gorilla Glue and my old chemistry professor just to pick his idea, his brain.
Wow.
And made me come up with something. Of course, Gorilla Glue never reached back to me. They texted me that they tried to reach me. But But by the time they texted me on Wednesday morning, I had already figured it out. And I had done experiments on the mannequin, on the scar that I have, one of those surgical scars that I used to use when I used to teach residents how to put plates and screws in people's faces. And that sat in front of me, that sits in my office. So, we're fortunate enough to get hair donated by the Southern Temple here in Beverly Hills. Southern Temple.
Shout out to
Southern Temple. They gave me human hair. Veronica gave me human hair. We put the hair onto the skull. And then, we took the Gorilla Glue. So my staff, Oscar Garcia, my assistant, went to Home Depot to buy me Gorilla Glue and buy me all the things that I needed, And we were able to spray, and I still have it here in my office, and it's stuck to this car. I spray around holding the hair. So what we first did was to glue the human hair donated by Southern Temple to this car, and then we glue hair extensions on top of the human hair. Then we let it sit for about 6 hours, and then the solution that I've tried on myself initially it burned, we do what's called test spots. So it burned a little burn, which is fine. If you use a little Q-tip and it burns, that means it's going to burn the scalp. So after we find the right solution that was hard, was gentle to my skin, I knew it was going to be gentle to scalp. And we used it on the mannequin or on the skull, the demo I had created, and the hair started to unravel. So back then and then I knew that we had a product that can dissolve human, that can dissolve Gorilla Glue. And when Tessica arrived on Wednesday morning, I was very confident, without a doubt, that it was going to be successful. And by the grace of God, everything went well. And, she's back in Louisiana doing well.
Absolutely. And we are so proud to hear of that. We really are. One of the questions that came in from one of my followers and fans of the show, they wanted to know if the treatment that you provided, did it have any effect on the hair follicles, on her hair follicles? Because, you have to be so careful, like you said. It's, in terms of preventing, long-term damage or anything like that. Is there anything that you could tell us about, because she seems to be really happy. I think I caught some videos where she was running her fingers through her hair and all of that. So did the glue go all the way down inside the follicles? Anything that you could tell us on that part?
So initially, of course, things can penetrate to hair follicles whenever you put stuff on your scalp or your skin. So I can tell you that the glue, initially when I got into the follicles, of course, it was temporary burn because of the fact that it's caustic in nature. It was temporary burn. It will burn a little bit, but it might have some temporary effect on the hair follicles. But I think all in all, she's going to recover. And then the solution that we use was very gentle. Gentle enough that it's not going to hurt her follicles. It hasn't hurt my hair follicles, so hopefully you shouldn't hurt her hair follicles. Yeah,
well, now, what about... Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask you, what about subsequent follow-ups? Is this going to be something that you're going to have to work with her ongoing, or is she just going to be able to just resume, her life as it was before this happened?
Yeah, she should be back to normal life, but I told her to be very gentle with her hair and her scalp, in simplicity terms, just to treat it like a newborn baby. You don't want to put harsh chemicals. Everything that she uses should be very gentle in nature. And I recommend using baby shampoo, baby conditioner, just things that has nothing that is harmful to, or that can also cause that can also compromise an already compromised scalp.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Obeng, I do want to take a moment because I understand that there is a charitable organization that you are associated with or helped establish that I just love, what I read about this and helping the folks over in Ghana. And we have so many listeners who tune in from Ghana to the show. They're big fans. So Yeah, so I'm not, and I know them, a lot of them by name, so that's not just me saying anything. So I'm so proud.
Thank you for getting my Ghanaian, my Ghanaian people involved, you know, and shout out to them, you know. It took a village to get me to America, and at the tender age of 20, when I left home to come to college here. And of course, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years later, the Lord has blessed me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, growing up in Ghana, I saw a lot of diseases and illnesses, you know, and deformities that were attributed to witchcraft, you know, people at the time, and some of the belief is still there, you know, in the remote areas, you know, of people still think that children with deformities are cursed, and, you know, the little gods, you know, witches, you know, they are cursed, and their families are cursed, that's why they come out like that. They don't understand that we have the same issues here in the Western world, in America, that kids are born with cleft lip, cleft palate, and these are normal kids. It's just that, you know, during the developmental state, developmental process, things did not go according to plan. You know, things, there were not little mishaps, and that's why these kids have deformities. And these kids can be treated, and they can have normal life. You know, the field of plastic surgery became known to me at the tender age, I believe, around 13 to 15, when I witnessed firsthand the works of Operation Smile when they came to Ghana and did surgery on a neighbor. The beautiful young lady I grew up with, her brother, her face had been burned with sulfuric acid, which was very commonplace growing up in Ghana. You can go buy acid, and they use it for your cars, you know, to add it to the battery. And this, you know, this man put acid on the young lady's face because she didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And her face was burned, and she became a recluse. She never really left her home. And, you know, I saw the first thing what Operation Smile did. And, of course, you know, I didn't see Operation Smile during the surgery, but I asked my friend, wow, what happened to your sisters? Oh, there's a group of doctors from America came to Ghana, you know, came and did this surgery on her. And, you know, I saw the restoration of hope, you know, that this young lady has. So from that day, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. So fast forward, in 1998, 99, one of my mentors, Dr. Miller, John Miller, when surgery, I was in training at the time. I think I was a third year medical student. Dr. Miller was doing surgery. He's a plastic surgeon and a hand surgeon. And he looked at me and said, Michael, you are from Ghana, right? I said, yeah. I said, why don't we go to Ghana and do free surgery? Now, he's the one who put the seed in my head in 1998, 99. And, of course, I knew that, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And, you know, when the Lord, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's
so
right.
Fast forward to 2006, when I was in Boston at Harvard doing my fellowship, that's when the name Restore came to my head. You know, Restore is the name of my nonprofit organization, and it stands for Restoring Emotional Stability through Outstanding Reconstructive Efforts. And since 2007, we've been to Africa, we've been to Central America, Southeast Asia. And we have done over 1,500 surgeries, all free of charge. You know,
that is amazing.
And last year when COVID hit, we decided to start offering help in our own backyard. Of course, you know, we still help people. You know, every year I'm a big breast cancer advocate and breast reconstruction advocate. I happen to be the first one in Los Angeles area to host the first Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day that was launched by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons in 2012. Hosted an event to educate women about their rights to breast reconstruction. So charity has always been a forefront of mine, and I've always joked around that if I was a trust fund baby, I'd be going to developing countries doing free charity, or even here in America, offering help to people who cannot navigate through the complex process of our healthcare.
That's
why Restore is so important and so dear to my heart.
Wow. Well, we are just blown away. And for folks who are just joining us, we're talking today on the Hair Radio Morning Show with the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng from out in Beverly Hills. Now, we understand that you work with the director of Miko Plastic Surgery out in Beverly Hills. How is all of that and your work there, does that play a part in you taking on some of these extra efforts and helping, you know, folks who are in such need? with plastic surgery?
So Mako Plastic Surgery is my practice here in Beverly Hills. We've been here for 10 years.
Wow.
And it has been the engine behind my charity. You know, the money that we make from here is supposed to charity. This charity has been supported largely in part by the efforts of our practice here, the staff and friends, about 75% and 25% of donations from other sources. And so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that the Lord has blessed me enough to give me a practice that can fund, to help the people in need, free of charge. And, for those of you guys listening, we are here. We are here to serve the general public. We offer, the true breadth of plastic surgery, of course, the entire staff and colleagues. So we do everything here. I like to do more faces and breast and body procedures. And then I have colleagues here who does other things. But, this practice has been the engine behind Restore. And for those of you listening, if you want to help and spread the love and restore more hope and function and put smiles on people's faces and change communities, you guys can go to restoreworldwide.org. Every donation is appreciated, and no amount of money is little. So we thank you guys, for tuning in to listen to me and to share my story with you guys. And you guys can also follow us at Dr. Michael K. Obeng. That's my full name. And also our Restore Worldwide. That's the Restore's social media handle. So thank you very much, Kerry.
It's been my pleasure. I have to say again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Obeng. This is just been a big thing, and you've helped to clarify a whole lot and shine a light on all of this. And we're going to continue to support and follow you out there in California. We're in New York, so we're going to continue, and everybody's listening from all over the world to this today. So thanks again. And let me just give a shout-out to your team. They are amazing. We love them over here at Hair Radio. They've been awesome in helping us coordinate everything. So thanks to you and, of course, your team. Dr. Michael Obeng. We're going to call you the miracle doctor. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. All right, have a good day. Thanks so much.
The natural hair care and maintenance training being brought to you by Complete Beauty Solutions, where cosmetology meets healthy naturalism and everything in between. Now offering our half-off introductory special all summer long. So log on to cbeautysolutions.com to sign up. That's C, like complete, then beautysolutions.com. We'll also be on the number one hair radio show, so don't miss out.
Digital downloads of your favorite episodes of Hairpreneurs are available for just $4.99 at hairradio.com's website store. Buy your own audio download and get the tips to help you build your hair business.
Hi, everybody. It's Kerry Hines. And in honor of our 600th episode celebration, we're playing some of our classic interviews and sharing some behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, the Hair Radio Morning Show has chronicled our lives, mixing great hair and beauty talk with current events and shaping each broadcast with music and special guests. I want to thank you and to our amazing sponsors and advertisers. Now, let's take a listen back.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. If you're just joining us, it's our show number 600 today that we're celebrating. It's Friday, August 13th, 2021. It's about 8:35 in the morning as we broadcast out of Brooklyn, New York. Now, I'm being joined on the line by a wonderful, wonderful young lady who
really has signed on today, and she just came on and kind of has been knocking us out as our guest co-host. I want to say, Jacqueline, good morning again.
Hi.
And welcome, welcome back. Yes,
good morning.
Hi.
Yes, thank you. So, that was a phenomenal interview.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you about. So what do you think about that? What did you hear, and what are your thoughts, Jacqueline?
So much. Honestly, Dr. Michael Obeng, he has such a charitable, phenomenal spirit about himself. I loved his story of how he first was inspired to even get into plastic surgery, which is the main reason of what plastic surgery was originally intended for, to help people that were, you know, horribly disfigured. And, you know, not so much, I mean, not that I mind people enhancing their selves and their beauty through plastic surgery, but the original purpose for it, which is why he got into it, to fix, you know, people who had, you know, really horrific problems and just wanted to look normal. And another thing, I love the explanation of the whole process that he went through just to find the solution that he made up for Tessica Brown. The testing and all that process. That was so interesting. I hope he bottled that solution. And, you know, that can be something very profitable for him, too, to put out there.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is a man who's very well-to-do, very successful plastic surgeon doctor. And it just reminds me, when I first told everybody that he was coming to the show, I put out a little clip. You know, we're radio, so I just put out a little audio clip of the interview. And the number one question, okay, yes, many people said, what on earth was she thinking? And I tried so delicately to ask the question. I don't know if you guys remember hearing this, but I tried really delicately to say, you know, what was she thinking until I started stuttering.
Yes.
And I never stuttered. But I started stuttering because I was like, okay, how can I say this without, you know, offending anybody? That was a big question, what made her do it? Why did she do it? The other big question was, are you ready for this? We then put out his picture on the internet, on social media. The number one question that, and I wrestled with actually asking him this, but the number one question was, is he married? I kid you not.
We all want to know. He is a handsome man, and he's a doctor. He's successful, and he's actually, like, a good person. He is a unicorn, so I'm curious.
That was the biggest question. I said, okay, and I really mean this. I said, okay, should I ask him? Should I work it in? Should I try to research it? I couldn't figure it out. I really would have answered it for the listeners to the, you know, the fans of the show, but I couldn't figure it out. I really couldn't figure it out.
Out of finesse, yes.
I couldn't, and he was so serious. You know, he's a very serious surgeon, and talking about all these big, big things. There was charitable work. I said, okay, you know what? I cannot work it in. I said, sorry, fans. I really did. As it was playing in the back of my head, I said, sorry, fans, I can't work that in. He would just kill me if I took the interview there. And I just want to say, Jacqueline, you are just a natural at this. Wow. I'm just
really?
So impressed. You've been doing a great
thank
job.
Thank you. You've done a great job really just making me feel at ease and like I'm just on the phone talking to one of my friends. And,
well, you are.
It's been
you
educational
are.
At the same time, too. I've gained
thank
so much
you.
Knowledge. There was one more point that I wanted to make because I am,
sure.
even though you didn't get to the question that we, a lot of us wanted to know.
I still don't know
happy.
The answer to that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google it. But I am happy that you asked, you know, what she was thinking because it was interesting also that he said that this is actually more common, not specifically the Gorilla Glue, but just using products in place of other products. Mm. And it's actually more common than we think, because a lot of us really, you know, it was the first time that we really heard anything like that. So we were really thinking this woman was out of her mind, but people do stuff like this, not that particular incident, but stuff like that happens.
I'm going to raise my hand right now. This is, and this is a true story. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm one of those who did this. I didn't use Gorilla Glue. Let me start there. But I will tell you what I've done in the past. I actually would quick read. Like, you know how you might go to the doctor and they might give you medicine and stuff like that, and it'll have the directions on, take twice a day, once a day, blah, blah, blah. I would quick read something, and I would just do whatever I wanted. And I wouldn't pay close attention. I was the Gorilla Glue girl before she. Yeah, that was me. I didn't pay any attention.
We've
you know,
all
they
been
told.
Here.
They told Tessica Brown. They told all of us, do not put this in your hair. Clearly, it said that on the tube.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we do. We don't pay attention. We think you know. And she wanted her hair not to move, literally. Well,
I
you
can
guys
understand.
Know the story. You know, right? Well, listen, I've got to tell you, I also want to say thank you to everybody. We talked earlier, if you guys are just tuning in, you might have missed some amazing talk that we've had on the air live this morning, along with some of the interviews that have really resonated with us. We've been talking about some of the folks who've been on our show, and coming up in just a moment, I have some folks standing by out in the Cleveland area that I want to get on. These are two individuals who folks don't know how much they've helped me, and I just want to share that their story a little bit. So stay with us. That's going to come up in a moment or two. But right now I wanted to say the Black Lives Matter movement. And the other thing about this, Jacqueline, is that we have had so many newsmakers on our show, not just Dr. Obeng, but we covered some of the other stories. If you listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show, our archives, which, again, it'll be 600 broadcasts that you can choose from, pretty much adhere playing across our 24-hour network. And I haven't really talked about our 24-hour network today, but I do want to share that. We're broadcasting. We're actually on live right now over there, too. We have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week broadcast network. And what it does, it goes around the clock. So it could be 2 in the morning. You want to hear some hair radio, you go to www.hairradio.com, and you can hear us. We have a lot of classic shows that play there. I have even started broadcasting other folk shows on that network. So, again, you go to www.hairradio.com. Now, it's important that you spell hair radio with one R only. It's never with two R's. So it's www.hairadio.com, and you can hear 24 hours a day. I've been playing some of our classic shows. We've launched some new shows. You guys know Michael Hopkins and his amazing, wonderful team of angels. I'm going to shout them out this morning to Noor, to Nicole, and to Katrina, the angels. They help him do his show. I want to shout out Smooth Black. These are folks who are broadcasting their own shows, their own productions over there as well. So lots of good stuff. Plus, we do live stuff here Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. So just wanted to work that in. So glad you're having fun, Jacqueline, out of Pennsylvania. So that's kind of nice.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you must have been on radio for years. You have just such a natural ability there. We're so honored here. My goodness.
Thank you so much for saying that. I feel I'm at ease, but this is also kind of, I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like,
well,
even though people can't see me, even though people can't see me, I feel just exposed. And but I like
it. Well, you know
what?
You bring on a good point, and that is that when we're on radio, you know, depending upon what moment, you know, what's going through my mind and my feelings in the day and kind of, you know, whatever is happening in the world, that really shapes what that broadcast is going to be about. And right now, I'm just going to bring on the line to join us, Jacqueline. I'm going to keep you on with us, and I'm going to introduce you to the Kellys. I'm hoping we have Michael and Shantae on with us this morning. Again, these have been folks who I just wanted to say thank you. They had they used to join us every Friday about this time, literally for their own little episodic show within the show. And I just wanted to, you know, have it officially known that you guys have been quietly supporting the Hair Radio Morning Show for a while, and Gary Hines. So I wanted to give you my personal thank you. Good morning to the Kellys.
Good morning. Good morning. Boss up.
Boss up. Before we even get started, I have to do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Kerry Hines. Happy birthday to you. We love you, brother.
Thank you so much, Elder Mike. Elder Mike. Listen, that is, I'm just going to say, move on over, Jennifer Hudson. Move on over as Aretha. We found our own Aretha this morning.
What a beautiful voice.
All right. Beautiful voice, Shantae.
Well, God
wow.
is good all the time. God is good. I have a little bit of a cold, so if you're thinking it's good now and I got a cold, so I'm really going to blow away. But, no, we just want to just praise God this morning for waking us all up with a mind made up to, you know, to do right, to live right, not to get on nobody else's nerve, to stay in our own lane. And, you know, and Kerry, we just want to thank you so much for letting us come on and give, you know, encouragement and cheer up. You know what the Kellys do. We don't beat nobody up with nothing. We lift folks up. That's what we do.
Exactly. Yeah. You do. And I want to say that. And Michael as well to you. Money Mike, you know, both of you guys have been very instrumental. You have helped. When we needed things here at Hair Radio, you know, I would just look around and Shantae would be sending me a computer. These are things that folks don't know here. And I have been very much appreciative. Now, you guys know I move at my own pace. Nobody can push me to do anything. I run my own business. I'm very independent. But I have to say that I have always been very much appreciative and in awe of these folks. And both Michael and Shantae Kelly have really helped us. They have introduced me to amazing folks like Michael Hopkins. You guys know him from Vet Talk Radio and all his folks. And Katrina and so many others who have just helped so much to the success. I wouldn't be here. So at this time, that's why I wanted to take a moment
to get
them on.
I have to say this, Kerry, it is easy. It is so easy to love on people that are lovable. Can I get a witness?
Oh.
Yeah, amen.
It really is.
I will testify.
Thank you so much,
sister. It's really easy because it's a breath of fresh air. It's so many negative, just crazy stuff going on out in the world. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, it's way more positivity out here. It's way more frequencies of love and understanding and mercy and forgiveness than you think. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, just because news media is always posting and showing you
all this
tragedy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and I always used to say this too, you know, why would y'all continuously show us all this bad things happening? Whatever happened to showing something that's good happening?
They show
so much negativity, you know, and then you wonder why the world is so negativity. So negative,
exactly.
Brother. You know, it's because
well, I've got an answer for you. I've got an answer for you, Money Mike. And I'm going to tell you because see, that is what guarantees eyeballs, and that's what they do. It's creating fear is how the order of the day for the general media that's out there for the most part. So we're kind of happy that they do because it gives Hair Radio an opportunity to give a little niche and our own little angle to give positivity, to get a chance to put on folks like the two of you who are
bossing
it up.
And it doesn't have to be boring. Right. It doesn't have to be the boring kumbaya positivity. It can actually be things that are powerful and encouraging
exactly.
and real and relevant yeah. to these masks are coming down now, my friends. You know, they're not off. And we still have to be cautious. Mm-hmm. We got that new Delta
exactly.
strain, but they're coming down, and people want peace. They want tranquility.
Yeah,
they want to not be beat up. They want to be bossed up and blessed up, and not given a hand out. You know, but
exactly.
a hand up.
Now, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have you to tell everybody real quickly about Boss It Up, please, because this is an organization that the Kellys are very much a part of, and they can help you guys out there with your entrepreneurial needs and all of that. Please tell everybody real quickly what Boss It Up is all about.
Sure, no problem. We educate business owners on how to increase their bottom line, no matter what industry they're in, no matter what niche, no matter what part of the country, their level of understanding of marketing, advertising, branding, it doesn't matter. We help them by increasing their audience. We actually create them. I know this is crazy. It probably sounds like a science fiction, but it's not. We got a niche, right? And we saw an itch and we scratched it. And so like Kerry Hines said, we carved out our own thing. So now any business owner, no matter what your product is, you can come to us and we can show you how to create your own community, or we can do it for you on social media, on a lot of the different social media sites of people that want what you have. There's 3.5 billion consumers on social media every single month. And if you have them golden nuggets, drifting diamond, razor sharp skills to know what to do, or an agency to back you up that have the proof, we've made millions. We literally made millions. And we're not bragging. We're saying we're blessing. That's why we've made the money, because we're telling people the truth about how to really build your business today in the butt end of a pandemic, with all of the scams, all of the negativity, all of the people that's with the drama and their skepticism and everything. People about ready to cut someone with all of the scam stuff going on. So when you come around and you show them that there is a better way, there is some honest human to human, not B2B companies, and then we help you put things on automation. So we create your community of know, like, and trusters. They want what you have. There's no issue. When you put something in front of them, they're buying, the credit cards are flying. Then what we do is we put it on automation now. So now we're doing paid advertisement for you like nobody else can. We're targeting thousands of people that want what you have. And then now you're waking up to what? Appointments. Mm-hmm. You're waking up to sales. You're waking up to people knocking on the door.
And it's all according to
on
the website.
Yes, there is a website. But before I give you the website, I just want to say this too. You know, it sounds too good to be true. And most of the time, when things sound too good to be true, people are skeptical, you know.
Okay, go ahead, because we're going to wrap it up. We're running low.
Okay. Proof is in the pudding. Go to www.bossitup.biz. That's www.bossitup.biz.
And look at the testimonials. The people don't lie. The results are there. God
love it.
Everyone. Thank you, Carrie.
I love it. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you. All right. So, folks,
Amen.
You heard
we
it. Thank you so much.
You.
And you got it. I'll be in touch soon. That was the Kellys. I want to thank them out of the Cleveland area. Also, to all of the folks who have been tuning in and listening, I've got some folks standing by. I'm going to see if I can work in a couple of quick shout-outs. We've got some live folks here. I'm going to see if we can get some folks on. Your phone number ends in 09. So we've got you live on the air. You're on the Hair Radio Morning Show. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
Good morning, Carrie. This is Noor from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Hi. How are you? Good. Hello, birthday week person, my fellow birthday person out there. How are you today? What would you like to say to everybody?
Well, I just want to say congratulations, Carrie, on your 600th show and also just everything that you do for everybody. We thank you again for the Vet Show, the Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins and Angels. And we just loving on you, brother. You're just doing so much for people. That's why you are successful. I love you.
We, Well, thank you so much. Back at you. Listen, the one and only Noor. You guys are going to be hearing a whole lot more from her coming up very soon across our airwaves and all that wonderful good stuff. Remember, you can catch Vet Talk Radio on Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning, live right here. And then on Wednesday morning, we have Smooth Talk all the way from California. So this was our 600th broadcast. We will be back. Yes, we're back with show number 601. 601 will be on Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. I'm back at it live again on the airwaves from 6 to 9 on Tuesday morning. You can, again, dial the 516 number and listen live. And then later in the day, later on, you can go to hairradio.com, again, spelled with one R, H-A-I, radio.com, and play, you know, the 24-hour network. It just plays. You don't get a chance to choose what you want to hear. It's broadcast out. But largely what it is different shows and mainly our classic Hair Radio morning shows. So it's a lot because we've got 600 shows to choose from. And so you can hear, rarely will you hear the same show play twice. So it's a lot of stuff on there. Listen, I want to say hello and I want to thank all of the folks who have been tuned in. I think I have a couple of recorded shout-outs that came across our airwaves. Let me see if I can just play one or two here. Let's see.
Hello, this is your girl Katrina Jones from Paris, Texas, and I am calling in because I would like to give a shout-out to my boy, Kerry Hines, wishing him a great big happy birthday, and I pray to God with many more to come. Happy birthday, Kerry. Love you.
Oh, how nice. Thank you so
much. Yes, Kerry Hines, happy birthday. This is Michael Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio. And I'm here. Myself and the angels wish you a very happy birthday and many more to come. Happy birthday.
Very nice.
Well, y'all know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show. With Kerry Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Oh, wow. Okay, folks. Well, listen, we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break. Well, actually, we're almost at the end of the show. Let me just go ahead. We don't have time to take a commercial break. Jacqueline, I want to turn to you for a moment. I want to thank you so much again for being with us live. You really hung in there throughout today's broadcast. You are a natural, and I think we've just brought in a new, introduced a new career to you. Jacqueline, out of Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Let me just say that. Right? It's a Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Willow Grove. Yeah, PA. I keep wanting to say New Jersey, but it's PA. Yeah, so again, what was your day like today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
This was exciting. It was very fast-paced. I'm just here trying to keep up with the flow of things, but it was very inspirational. I just wanted to take a moment to touch on the Cowies out of Cleveland. I'm happy they mentioned scams that are going on because they have actually gotten really creative with these scams.
Yeah.
You know, I'm old school. I remember the simple, you know, telemarketers and things like that. But, you know, they've gotten next level now. So it's nice to hear people that are legit. They're really doing it for real, and you're giving them a platform to just come and be for real and inspirational to others. This has been a great morning.
Exactly. Well, you've made it greater. And we're going to remind everybody, you got it. And hopefully we'll get you back soon on the show, okay? We give you an open invitation to join us here and find out more about your business,
too. I would love
to.
Okay, yes, I would love to.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, folks, we'll be back on Tuesday. Now, the show doesn't have to end here. I just want to remind everybody that our next live show will happen in the spring of 2021. We're not going to be on this August, even though some of these recordings say that. I want to make sure that's clear. And again, I want to thank all of our sponsors and advertisers and the fans all around the world who listen to the show. I'll go ahead and get the outro started. And again, Jacqueline, thank you so much. It's been a great 600th broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
And
happy birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, folks. We'll see you soon.
It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include